Hello, and welcome to a very special mini episode of The Ostrich Technique. I'm one of your hosts, Ananth.
And I'm Chris, your other host.
Yeah, Chris. So why don't you tell our fine folks, why are we doing this very special episode today?
Well, we had this little summer movie come out called Deadpool and Wolverine, and it is such a highly anticipated movie, we felt like we had to create a little mini episode on it.
Just, you know, small little indie movie, you know, from a no-name director with, like, no-name stars. Probably never heard of it, but, you know, we just, I think as patrons of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think it's our duty to really highlight some of these really small movies for you guys. So, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, it made an insignificant, what, $444 million this past weekend, Chris, right?
Just a little bit of cash, yeah.
Not much, yeah, you know. So I think any sort of visibility we can give it is definitely needed for those fine folks over there. But yeah, I mean, definitely a movie worth discussing. For our listeners at home, how we're going to break this up is the first 10 minutes or so, we're going to try and keep it spoiler free. Going to be quite tough, considering there are a lot of spoilers in this movie. The next 10 minutes, we will have a spoiler-filled discussion for all of our folks that do want to, you know, partake in some of that spoilery goodness. And then the last 10 minutes, we are going to be discussing something slightly different, and we'll explain it when we get to that. But Chris, any other final thoughts before we just jump right into, you know, initial thoughts?
No, let's talk about this movie.
Yeah, so why don't you kick it off, Chris? I mean, what were some of your, you know, pros of this movie? In spoiler-free terms, of course.
Yeah, I thought this movie was very fun. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't expect that. I think it hit the expectation of being very fun. The cameos added to the fun. I think there's some good payoff with the cameos, or at least it wraps up a lot of... It's hard to say without the spoiling, but the cameos are good in the sense that they give some closure to certain characters or remind you about certain characters that you may have forgotten about.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that this is a send-off to the Fox Marvel universe without being spoilery. I think that's been very clearly communicated through the advertising and, you know, the various press tours that they've been giving. So, yeah. Anything else stand out to you, Chris?
I think similar to Guardians, I did like the soundtrack, mm-hmm. especially the opening sequence.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
And I think it's been on a lot of people's brains as well, not just mine. But obviously, when we talk more into details and spoilers, it's a very Chris trap.
Yes, it is. I think it was tailor-made for you there, Chris. So
it was.
I'm glad to hear you call that out. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the thing that stood out in particular is I think the promise of this movie was definitely the interaction between Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. And I think at that point of the movie, it definitely succeeds mm-hmm. quite strongly. I mean, you definitely get that sort of banter between the two of them, which I think all of us have been hoping to see. You get the sort of no-nonsense gruffness of Wolverine, and then you get obviously just like the endlessly quippy, just sort of nonstop Deadpool, almost that sort of manic energy, you know, positive and negative, opposites attract. I mean, classic storytelling trope. So I think in that sense, the movie really worked well for me. Obviously, the cameos were a nice little bump in the movie, but I think unlike some other movies like The Flash, which the cameos, I would say, were honestly very gratuitous in The Flash and were definitely like, oh man, who's that? Like, they actually have a bit of a purpose in this movie. So I appreciate that they had something to do other than just sort of pop up and, you know, just sort of look there and, oh man, hey, look, it's that guy. So definitely, I think the cameos were nice. I think the other thing which I also really liked was, I mean, you mentioned the beginning credits. I think the end credits were really nice. Again, without going into spoilers, I think it's, again, a really nice touching send-off mm-hmm. for the Fox Marvel universe, which, I mean, we've not ever really had credits like that before, which is kind of nice to see. So, yeah, I think those are three couple of the highlights for me, for sure.
I forgot to mention The costumes. I think the costumes were very good.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I think the costumes were, I mean, A+. Obviously, the yellow Deadpool doesn't wear yellow, but Wolverine's yellow costume was, I think, what fans have been waiting for over 20 years. So definitely a huge up for that, for sure. I don't know about Deadpool's costume for you, but I found the red a little too bright. I kind of missed the old darker red from the first two movies. I don't know about you, Chris.
I was fine with it. I like it because of how, I mean, Wolverine's yellow is not very subtle. So yeah. It being bright, I think having Deadpool's being bright as well and those two characters interacting made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And also, I just feel like it helps contrast against the typical Marvel criticism, especially early on, where they tried to make everything a little bit more darker, a little bit more grounded looking, whereas Deadpool very much is a character who is not that. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it worked for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand your critique of wanting that little bit more maroon colored suit.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason being that, like, I mean, in the original two movies, he got it that color so that the blood wouldn't stain. I mean, I guess it's still red, so, like, the blood won't show as much, but, like, I think the original suit matches closer to the color of blood.
Which Okay.
But, like, I don't know. I also just, like, stylistically, I think the darker suit looked a little bit better, personally.
Okay,
but, you know, it's a minor, you know, qualm with the movie, but I guess speaking of, you know, negatives, I mean, this is a very minor one, but do you have anything that stuck out to you, Chris?
I did. I would say, and you probably know what I'm talking about, there is a very specific scene or shot where the CGI is just very, very obvious for one of the characters.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
So there were points where the CGI I thought was like, okay, this is very obvious, it's CGI. I think another thing is the set of wherever Deadpool's hometown is in that climax final fight.
Yeah.
It really felt like a set and not a real city or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I get where you're coming from there. I would agree. I think it did feel more like a set than an actual city. But yeah, I mean, I think clearly a lot more of the budget went into other parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it was there not as much, so it wasn't super distracting. And I do also appreciate that it was an actual set as opposed to, you know,
green
screen or like the volume, for example, or something like that. So. And also, I recognize that they probably had to make it a set because, you know, they could only shoot so many things outdoors for spoilery purposes since, you know, some of the stuff that they shot was leaked from, you know, paparazzi photos as well. So,
And
yeah,
I'll say two more things. Mm-hmm. One of the cameos, which I'll get into later, I felt like it kind of just this appearance kind of took me away from the characters' initial appearance in the movie that they were in previously.
Okay.
And it was really only one character that did that for me.
Okay.
And then I'd say the other thing is I feel like this movie didn't necessarily seem as seamless of a connection between this and the Loki series than I would have thought or wished. But I'll get more into that later.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think those are all fair critiques. You know, the Loki thing I didn't even think about. I think that's an interesting one. I'll be curious to hear your thoughts on the spoiler part of this. But I think for me, quickly, I think the key weaknesses for me, definitely the story, which I think you would agree with. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the story was particularly fantastic. I think it was very much sort of the story was a vehicle to just get the characters together, to do their thing, which in that sense, it succeeds. But I think the marketing that they had for, you know, a more emotionally driven, like serious story, I think for me, that fell a little flat. And I can explain why more in the spoiler bit. But I think that there, I mean, without going to spoilers, basically they fall into the classic trap of telling and not showing, which I think was why it didn't work as well for me. I think in that vein, also the villain was pretty hollow. I think this is not a spoiler, Cassandra Nova, who is in the marketing, was kind of one-dimensional and sort of falls into the same issue as, you know, early phase Marvel villains, where they're very much there just as the sort of driving thrust for our protagonist to come together and, you know, do their thing. So, I mean, again, to that end, she is successful in bringing our protagonist together, but she herself is not all that well fleshed out and we don't really understand her motivations. So, yeah, I would say those are really my two biggest weaknesses overall. I mean, I think overall, though, we're still fairly positive about the movie overall. I think we both really liked it. Do you have any final thoughts for our non-spoilery friends here, Chris, before we jump into the spoiler bit?
No, I think we're finally good to talk some spoilers.
Yeah. So I guess for anyone that's listening, if you haven't watched the movie, go and watch the movie, come back and, come back and we can be part of the discussion for the spoilery bit. But this is your final warning.
Warning.
We are going into spoilers right now in 3, 2, 1. Chris Evans is Johnny Storm. Yeah. So the spoiler part, Chris Evans as Johnny Storm was definitely one of the biggest surprises for me.
Yeah.
As a cameo, I didn't expect to see him as, I mean, we'll talk about this a bit later, but I did expect to see someone from the old Tim Story Fantastic Four. I did not expect this to be Chris Evans. I thought it would be Eoin Gruffudd, or I forget how to pronounce his name, but basically the guy who played Reed Richards in the original movie. So that was a pleasant surprise for me. And then I think the other big surprise cameo was Wesley Snipes as Blade.
Yes.
Considering the history that Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes have from the production of Blade Trinity, where they didn't like each other at all. Real shock to see him there. But yeah, and I will say, I think them spoiling the cameo of X-23 Laura in the last trailer was a real letdown. I think that would have been a really nice pop had I not seen that trailer. So yeah, those are the cameo bits. I guess I'll leave it to you if you have anything to add about cameos or if you just want to, you know, go on your spoilery positives.
Well, actually, so you're talking about X-23. The X-23, her cameo was the one that I felt like it was not necessarily misplaced, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I would have. And maybe part of it's because of the marketing, you know, spoiling that on the last trailer, like you mentioned. But I think also part of it was because she just seemed like such a different character.
Yeah.
I guess for one, she speaks in an English accent, or not English, like an American accent now, which they kind of explained through the press junket, but never in the movie. So
what was the explanation in the press junket? Sorry, I'm just curious.
It's because she's like living in Canada post Logan. So
right.
Surrounded by a lot of people who don't have that Spanish accent.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So they obviously, the way she talks is different, which as a viewer who supposedly is not supposed to know anything going into it, it kind of makes me think, oh, is this just a variant of Laura X-23? Is this the same one?
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, it just, you know, one, she's a lot older, but I don't know. To me, with her putting on the glasses that she got from Logan, that she stole in Logan.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people love that. To me, it just kind of looked a little weird to me having this now adult woman wearing these child sunglasses. And
yeah,
she just, as a child, being so ferocious, and now it didn't seem like, I don't know, that same level of intensity was coming out of her. At least to me, it didn't feel like that. So to me, it not really tarnishes, but the cameo was a little bit of a letdown in terms of like the character. Like, I would have loved to have either them left Laura as is in Logan, or maybe try to resemble her more from what she was in Logan to this point. But again, you know, she spent however many years in the void. Who knows how much that's changed her?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was maybe the one thing that got a bit dicey for me, considering they were so specific in their press junkets about like not trying to tarnish the memory of Logan because Logan is like such a good movie, which for our viewers, if you haven't, or listeners rather, if you haven't watched Logan, please go watch Logan. It's a very good movie. But yeah, I think that that was like maybe the most iffy cameo for sure. yeah. I don't know if I think I echo your points. I think it was a little bit like out of place for me. I get why emotionally she was there for Logan, but it's not like the Logan that we get.
Exactly.
As far as we know, necessarily had any connection to X-23 Allura. I mean, like we as an audience kind of know. I mean, I think you and I know it because we've seen Logan, but I don't think like the average I'm thinking of like my sister, for example, or like my mom who have not seen Logan. I don't think they're going to get anything out of Laura being there. And I don't think they do a good enough job explaining her relation to, I mean, they kind of show it in like flashbacks and that sort of thing, but like they don't really explain it.
Yeah,
so for anyone not in the know, I don't think that that part of it would be as emotionally resonant other than, you know, just her giving like a pep talk. Logan to being like, you were never the right guy until you were, which I mean is like a nice thing, but like, yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from. Yeah, I think, so I know one of the things you mentioned was the CGI bit was also a negative. I definitely agree with you there. I think you're thinking of the part where they jump out of the bus, right? With Wolverine. Yeah, where he seems like basically CGI. A video game character.
Yeah, like an NPC. Yeah.
Yeah, basically seems like an NPC there. I will say, It was nice to finally get him in the cowl, but now having seen the cowl, I think I can understand why we've never gotten it. I think it looked personally a little chintzy and a little bit too much for me. Again, I'm glad we have it for once, but I think that's it.
I agree. It works with Deadpool because it's a full on mask that covers his entire face. But with the cowl, I can see why, like, you have the, you know, the mouth that's very much human. And then you have this cowl that's pretty much CGI because they have to animate the eyes and the just all the little intricacies of the muscles in the face. And so it looks a little off, too.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you there. I think it was just a little bit too much, but otherwise, I mean, I think the CGI was like fine, nothing to write home about. Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we haven't talked about as a pro was definitely the action in this movie. Definitely very strong action. The fights were really good. I think honestly, the highlight fight for me was in the car, like the close combat fighting that they had was very entertaining. Especially with two people, obviously, that have like unlimited healing factor was very entertaining. I really like that. And then obviously the fight when they like first get into the void was also very entertaining.
Yeah, I will say the Sabretooth fight between Logan and Sabretooth was just very underwhelming, given how they've marketed it and, you know, the history between the characters. And then it's just kind of like an Indiana Jones sort of thing. Just boom, kill him in a second. It's over.
Yeah. I mean, unlike Indiana Jones, I think that one served like a narrative purpose. It added something to Indy's character. This one, I don't think it really did. I think they just genuinely did not have the time to keep him in the movie or keep, you know, Sabretooth in the movie for that long or like explain it any further. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, again, that sort of gets back to my point from the negative overall is that I think the story was definitely a bit wanting overall. Like the fact that they try and really sell this as an emotional story and we don't really get to see so much of why. Like we kind of just see Logan in a field, like an empty CG field with like tombstones. And I mean, I think I told this to you, like it was kind of funny that he specifically tells Laura, like, no, I need to say it, as if it's like he's almost saying it to the audience that he has to explain why he's sort of dealing with trauma. Like the fact that he basically went on a killing spree and he couldn't protect the X-Men. I mean, it also raised a lot of questions like how are humans able to kill the X-Men who are significantly more powerful than just
probably
normal humans?
Sentinels.
I mean, probably Sentinels, but like they don't really explain it. Like, again, it's just like one of the various things that are just like left unanswered. And then even Deadpool's arc, like I kind of get it. Like he's trying to understand his place in the world, but like, and, you know, part of it is, you know, him dealing with the loss of Vanessa as, like, you know, his partner. But he's I don't think they really explained it all that well. So I think the motivation for me was quite hollow. And then the same thing for the villain too. Like Cassandra Nova being the villain, being like, oh, I just want to destroy every world so I can control the void, was like also not like a great reason.
I also would have liked to know why she got sent to the void.
Yeah.
Like there's just no explanation why she got sent to the void. I understand why she wanted to, you know, come back to Deadpool's universe out of the void and, you know, take revenge on Paradox.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I don't really understand her motivation to do what she's doing for most of the movie.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. It's just a bit underbaked, not explained, but like I said, it's purely there just to, you know, it's just to act as the vehicle to get Logan and Wade together. So in that sense, it succeeds. But yes. I will give you the final word here on the music bit, which I know you're probably itching to talk about.
Yeah, it's actually what I was going to try to bring up. So obviously, the opening credits.
Yes.
I said it was a positive, and it is NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is going pretty viral online right now with
it is, yeah.
Doing the Bye 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 choreography while, you know, killing all the TVA agents with Logan's adamantium skeleton.
Yeah. And yeah. That was quite an opening. That was a strong opening for sure, or a strong choice of an opening, you know, claiming that they're not going to ruin Logan. And then he literally, you know, exhumes his corpse.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I thought it was fun. And I enjoy just a lot of all these Deadpool opening credits.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that the opening credits for all three of the Deadpool movies are really great. And I will continue in that vein. I think the end credits, like I mentioned, like having the little clips from all of the X-Men movies that were made was really quite touching.
Not even the X-Men, but just all of the Fox ones, like the Fantastic Four as well.
Yeah, they briefly, I mean, you can tell which ones they prioritized over others. Like they definitely showed more of like the original two X-Men movies and then like First Class. Well, more so, you know, the first two X-Men movies with like Hugh Jackman and stuff. And then they like briefly flash up Fantastic. They briefly flash up New Mutants. They like briefly flash up even, you know, Chris Evans and the Fantastic Four. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was a really nice touching send off for the Fox universe. And, you know, it leaves questions as to where they're going to go from there. But I really liked that. Yeah. I thought it was a nice send off for
the
universe.
I agree. I mean, the song choice is the ultimate montage song. Green Day's, you know,
Time of Your Life. Time.
But also its alternate title is Good Riddance, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, I did not even know that. That's actually really funny.
Yeah. And in like the parentheses afterwards, it's like Good Riddance. So it's like, it's funny because it's like, yeah, Good Riddance, like this thing is gone. But also at the same time, it's honoring the, you know, the time of their lives as a, you know, Fox Marvel universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess to that point, now that like, you know, Deadpool is coming into the MCU, I'll say maybe my last positive that I just remembered was that I do like that he briefly touches on it, like Deadpool understands that the fan perception of the MCU right now is maybe not so hot, like talking about how you're coming at a bit of a low point and the multiverse is not really clicking with people. I thought that was a little bit tongue in cheek. I really did like that. Yeah. And in that vein, I think the comedy in this movie mostly works really well. You know, this is basically an action comedy. So it works on the action front and it works on the comedy front. So I guess two ups for that for them. So
yeah. And my last piece is to explain this Loki connection.
Yes.
That
yes.
Felt like wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So I think just because the time of when they were writing the scripts, it's not like Deadpool and Wolverine could use the ending or just know what Loki season 2 was going for. So I think that in part kind of plays a little bit of the disconnect between them. But, you know, obviously one of the biggest things is the void in Loki. We see it as this sort of like very foggy, overcast, you know, green hued, sort of lush almost wasteland. And then, you know, in this movie, The Void is just a completely, completely different landscape. Right. And, you know, we've gotten no sort of hints or references to like, hey, the Void may be just more than just this greenery. Mm-hmm. And also, it seems like Cassandra Nova had been in the Void for a while and is kind of running this gang in the Void. And
yeah.
We've gotten absolutely, you know, no indication of that from both seasons of Loki.
Right.
And you know, they use Eliath to basically prune people who've already been pruned. But
mm-hmm.
to me, it just felt like they're throwing things like, oh, like, you recognize Eliath. Okay, we're in the Void, and oh, we see all of these different things that kind of just dump in to whatever, you know, the Void. It just seems like a lot of it wasn't necessarily connected to Loki season 2, especially with like the TVA kind of being a little different, especially the suits being different for the TVA agents. So it just seemed like there was a disconnect there for me.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I would agree with that. I think to that point also, another quick negative for me is the cinematography in this movie was not all that great. It was like very flat. I think the first two Deadpool movies have much more interesting camera choices and cinematography choices, especially like I was seeing a Twitter post or something about Deadpool 2 and how it had like really interesting lighting and like color choices. And this one is just like very flat the entire time. So I don't know if it's just them suffering from the MCU issue of like just not having really interesting cinematography, or it's just Sean Levy's directing style. I think that for me was kind of a letdown. And then in that vein also, I think the score itself, I mean, the music choices, like the actual tracks that they chose were fine, like, you know, Bye 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 and all that stuff, Time of Your Life. But the actual music was not stand out to me. I don't remember, I think, a single track from.
Yeah.
And they like barely used even like the original X-Men theme too.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the score was nothing to write home about. But, yeah, I think we've sufficiently covered some of the spoilers. Yeah. Unless you have any final thoughts here, Chris, on the spoilers.
No. Let's move on to our last section.
Yeah, so for our listeners, so this is something that Chris and I usually do with every new Marvel movie that comes out, is we do this thing called a scoreboard. This is not our original idea. I think this was something that they used to do on YouTube on some of the various channels. I think like AMC Movie Talk, Collider Movie Talk used to do these scoreboards. So we are not the progenitors of this idea. Full credit goes to them for this. But in this vein, basically, we just ask each other these sort of hypothetical questions about what we think is going to happen in the movie. And we give our guesses and then we score them at the end based on whoever got the most right. This is not for any money. This is not for any sort of prize or anything. This is purely just for honor, glory, and respect. So in that vein, Chris is now going to read some of the questions, and we are going to read our answers to that, and we'll see who is right and who won at the end. So Chris, do you want to start off with the first question?
Sure. So the first question was, who will be the real main villain? Cassandra Nova or Paradox?
Yeah. So I think for this one, we both said Paradox. So yeah.
I originally had Cassandra Nova, and then I was like, no, that seems too obvious. Like, there's got to be a bait and switch, and I was wrong. So
yeah, it was a bit of a shame. I did also think, kind of like you, it would be a bit of a bait and switch. Yeah, next question, I guess. How did Wolverine let down his entire universe? So I said that he killed the X-Men, and you said that he caused a Nexus event.
We're both incorrect there.
Yeah. But I would say I was closer.
You were closer, but still.
I wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, next question. How many Wolverine variants will appear, and which actors will play each variant? So I said only two, and both played by Hugh Jackman. Yeah, and then you said...
I said two, mm-hmm. and I said Hugh Jackman and Henry Cavill. So we both got the number wrong, but...
We got the number wrong, but I think you got the actual people right, which I will
somehow.
Say... I don't know what some clairvoyance you were pulling there with Henry Cavill. I would have never guessed in a million years that Henry Cavill would pop up in this movie.
There were rumors. That's why I put it.
Really? I didn't hear any rumors about Henry Cavill being in this.
Yeah, the three I heard were Taron Egerton, Daniel Radcliffe, and Henry Cavill.
Well, I feel like those, I mean, like Taron Egerton and Daniel Radcliffe, I feel like have just been sort of the guesses for the real, like the MCU.
Yeah, yeah, the fan cast, yeah.
Yeah, so I did not, I thought Henry Cavill was going to be playing like Sentry or something, so I don't know. But, you know, ups to you there. You got that part right.
I'll give myself half a point.
Yeah, I'll give you half a point there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like I feel like you should get like 0.75 points because you didn't get the number right, but you got like.
No, it's fine. We'll do the half. We'll do the half since it will make it binary for the most part, one or zero.
Okay. It was because I also wanted a point for Hugh Jackman, but never mind, I guess. But anyway, so will the desert area be the void or will it be some other wasteland outside of space and time? This is our next question, by the way. We both got this right. It was the void. I don't think that was much of a surprise to us. I think we both figured that it would be the void. All right. So will newly cast X-Men members appear for the main MCU timeline? Like, or rather, will newly cast X-Men members for the main MCU timeline appear? So yes. I said yes. You said no. You were right. No X-Men showed up. I guess this was a full send-off for the original Fox X-Men, which I will say we got no actual Fox X-Men physically show up in this movie, which is a bit of a shame, but.
Well, I mean, you're talking about like Days of Future, like the first class X-Men or the X1 through X3 X-Men, right?
Well, I mean,
Colossus technically, it's a different Colossus.
Correct. Yeah. I mean that the Colossus from the Deadpool movies is not the same Colossus as the one from those movies though. So
yeah,
for what it's worth. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, Negasonic Teenage Warhead is also technically in X-Men, but also not in the original movies. But anyway, so next question. What non-confirmed, non-leaked cameos will there be from previous MCU or non-MCU movies? And we gave ourselves a max of three guesses here. So I guessed Paul Rudd's Scott Lang, the Hulk, and Doctor Strange. So I got one of them technically.
You got one of them. Yeah.
One of them, so, right, with the Hulk, because he briefly pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah, 0.3. And then you guessed Spider-Man, Professor X, and the Hulk. So you also get 0.3.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. Next question. Why is Wade about to lose everything he cares about? So I said his timeline is being pruned by the TVA. And you said the same thing, but you added some flavor saying possibly due to his time jumping in Deadpool 2. But that was not part of your answer. But correct, we both got that right. Basically, the TVA was trying to prune his timeline.
Yes. And just so that we take a little score break.
Yeah.
It is 2.32 a month versus 3.83 to me.
That is not good for me. But I guess we shall keep going and hopefully the score will work out better for me. Next question. Will Deadpool specifically refer to to Fox or the Disney Fox merger? I think we both said yes. This seemed like, I think, a pretty gimme answer. Yes. I think they'd be remiss not to, but yeah. Anyway, next question. Why does Deadpool attack the TVA agents? So I said stopping the agents from pruning his friends and world. And then this one, then your answer was he realizes Paradox and his team have gone rogue and deceived Wade from the start. I think I'd say I was right here.
Yes. Yeah,
basically just trying to stop them from pruning his world. So I get the point there, and you do not.
I feel like I was close, but...
You know, you were close. I mean, they have gone kind of rogue, but they didn't deceive Wade.
Yeah.
But to the TVA, exactly.
Yeah, so that was not my intention. It was they've gone rogue against Wade.
Yeah. But next question. What previous MCU events or locations will this film revisit? And we had a max of three here.
Zero.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere in the MCU whatsoever. So our guesses are irrelevant, but we thought they'd be going, you know, other places. But I mean, I feel like I did think that was a fair question to ask, though. Like if anyone would have like hopped around, like kind of like they did at the end of Deadpool 2, I think this was primed to do so. But yeah, but I do appreciate to some level that this was sort of a standalone movie, too. But yeah, anyway, next question. Will Taylor Swift make an appearance physically? A big rumor that was going around. So I leaned into it and I said yes. And you said no. And unfortunately for me, you were correct. Taylor Swift did not appear. Though I think we discussed this, we both thought that Lady Deadpool was being voiced by Taylor Swift because it sounded like her. But yeah, it ended up being Blake Lively. Next question. How many Deadpool variants will we see? So I guessed 100 and you guessed 50. So, I mean, that was an arbitrary guess, but I ended up being exactly right. So hooray for me.
And we counted them exactly on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we did. We weren't, you know, paying attention to anything else. We exactly counted them.
Yeah, not even the dialogue where they said 100, but.
Nope. Yeah, we didn't even pay attention to that. So, yeah, next question. Will we see Loki? I said yes. You said no. Probably a good choice to say no because that was the right answer. And I think I'm realizing more and more that these movies are really not going to be pulling as much from the TV shows as we thought, unfortunately. So, bit of a shame there for me. Anyway, next question. Will Kevin Feige cameo in this movie? I think we both said no. I did think if there was any minor chance of Kevin Feige cameoing in any of the MCU movies, this would have been the one. But we both said no, so we get the point there. I'm pretty sure the listeners are sick of my voice now, Chris, so I'm going to let you read the answers for the next set.
Sure. And again, just a little score break. Ananth is at 7.3 and I am at 8.8.
Not great for me.
You're close.
I mean, I'm close, but I've been like consistently 1 point behind. But anyway.
Sure. All right. So next question. Name two X-Men characters from the Fox movie. So X-Men to X-Men 3 or the First Class era that will not appear in this movie. And we both picked characters that did not appear. So you picked First Class Mystique as well as the First Class era Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
I also picked a First Class character in Cyclops, but I also picked Kitty Pryde from the original X-Men series.
Yeah, played by now Elliot Page. So I think, you know, for many reasons, it made sense that he, they, I don't know what pronouns they go by, but that they didn't show up in this movie. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Will any of the Tim Story Fantastic Four have a cameo? We both already kind of discussed this a little bit, but the answer is yes, which we both put in Johnny Storm showing up.
Yeah. Who was the X-Men or the Fantastic Four that you thought would show up? Because I did, again, I thought it would be Mr. Fantastic.
I literally had no idea, but I felt like one of them had showed up. So I had no idea who it would have been, but I felt like somebody had to show up.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's really interesting that it was, I guess it makes sense, you know, from a logistics standpoint that they got Chris Evans back, and Chris Evans has expressed his interest in coming back as Johnny Storm in some capacity, but you know, anyway, nice surprise.
Yes. Will any of the Fantastic cast have a cameo? And Ananth, you said yes. I said no.
I should have said no. That was a stupid move on my part, honestly.
Yeah. I had a feeling they weren't going to double down on the Fantastic Four, and if they were going to pick one, it was probably one that, you know, wasn't universally panned.
Yeah, I mean, the original ones weren't necessarily beloved either, but I think
no, but they got at least two movies.
That is true. That's true. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Will Deadpool end up in the MCU Prime timeline or in his own Fox universe? And you said he would end up in his universe. I said the Prime MCU, and you are correct. He did not end up in the MCU at the end of the movie.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. I mean, it's a fair guess. I mean, this was basically a 50-50 guess, but...
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that the end credits might suggest that he will go to the Prime MCU at some point.
Yeah, some point.
I think for the purposes of this exercise, yeah, it's his universe.
All right. We're on the last four questions. Mm-hmm. Will any Avengers, new or old, physically cameo as their MCU role from the Prime timeline? If so, name one. And you guessed yes, an Avenger from the Prime MCU would appear, and you put the Hulk. And I said yes, and I put Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So
We were both wrong.
We were both wrong. I mean, the Hulk did appear, but in a
not from alternate the prime timeline. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So I feel like I should get half a point for that, but I won't try and milk it.
Okay. So another, do you happen to have the Rotten Tomatoes score? Because this one's Rotten Tomatoes. Can you pull it up?
Yes. Yeah. Let's pull up the Rotten Tomatoes score right now.
All right.
For Deadpool and Wolverine. So yeah, as you could probably get into it, that this next question is the Rotten Tomatoes score. What is it going to end up at? So you guessed 83%. I guessed 81%. The actual Rotten Tomatoes score right now is sitting at a 78 with 320 reviews.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, I'm a little closer.
Yeah,
so
you are a little closer.
I mean, I don't know how we want to
score
that.
We'll give you a half point because you didn't get it exactly right, but you are definitely closer, and I'll give myself a zero.
Okay. I'll take it, you know.
All right. Box office opening weekend for the domestic market.
Yes. So
and you put 190 million and I put 175 million.
Yeah. And it surpassed both of those. It made $211 million in the US. So again, I was slightly closer, so that probably yields me half a point.
Yes.
And none for Chris. And then the last thing is our wild card guess, which is worth like 3 points, but it's just basically we just sort of spitball and say whatever is going to happen. My guess was that Frog Thor would appear, played by Chris Hemsworth, because they did sort of mention that in the Loki show, and they had like a thing that they cut. So I thought that was like fair game. It ended up not happening, unfortunately, so I didn't get a point. Chris, what was yours?
Wait, I thought Frog Thor did appear in Loki.
He did appear in Loki, but he wasn't voiced by Thor. Or Chris Hemsworth, rather. Like, the cut bit was that he was voiced by Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, gotcha. And then my wild card prediction was the events of this movie will cause the start of the collapse of the multiverse into a singular universe, which was also incorrect. Although I do think these two universes are on a collision course at some point.
I think that probably, you know, like Secret Wars or something is going to happen where they will collapse, kind of like they're the MCU's flashpoint almost.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Chris, the final tally here?
Can you give me a drum roll, Ananth?
I'll add that in digitally.
Okay.
Yeah. Just imagine a drum roll. I'm sure it'll be there. I'll edit it in.
All right. Ananth with a total score of 10.3, correct?
Okay.
And me with a total score of 10.8, correct?
Oh my God.
A half a point difference.
Wow. All right. Well, fair play to you. I think it was the Loki. No, not the Loki guess. It was the stupid Fanforestick guess of mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame them for
once
like,
again,
all of life's problems. They messed
once
it
again,
up.
They've messed it up.
Yep. But yeah, fair play to you. That was fun. So I think for our next movie, whatever. What is the next movie actually that comes out from the MCU? Is it Brave New World?
I guess.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be this year and then, yeah, it got pushed.
Yeah. So I guess for Brave New World, we will do this again, but do let us know what you think if you like this or if you didn't. And yeah, we'll take it from there. But I guess, Chris, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I think we covered some good ground. Obviously, when we get to this movie on a rewatch, we'll be a little bit more in depth, but I thought this was a little fun mini episode.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and obviously we'll do our full score then. But like I said, we both like the movie overall. And yeah, I mean, we've now spent a fair bit of time going to spoilers. But again, our plug for this small little indie movie, if you haven't gone to see it yet, please do go and watch it. Form your own opinion. But I guess if there's nothing else, I'll just do the standard wrap up stuff, which is that we are, of course, the Ostrich Technique. You can find us. You are probably listening to us already on one of your favorite podcasting platforms. But if you aren't, or if you want to share it with your friends, we are, of course, on all the major podcasting platforms. If you have any further questions or want to continue the conversation, please do feel free to reach out to us at our email address, ostrichtechnique@gmail.com. And we will be back soon with our next episode. But until then, I've been Anunth.
I've been Chris.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys around. Bye.
Thanks.